be staying with Laura and Wyatt, and your son-in-law lets you stay in the same room with him. It's really wonderful, but I was able to get the room back to them and split the rent with Ben. So it's really pretty awesome. And I was kind of reflecting on the way up here that Ben's getting married in September. I don't know how many of y'all knew that. A beautiful young woman named Haley.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, we can't room together anymore. If you try to do that, it's really going to throw your wife off. So let me pray for my friend Ben. Lord, I love this guy. And I'm so honored to call him my brother. So thank you for getting time with him and what you're doing in his life. I pray that you'll just take away all of the anxiety and pressure of sharing your story. So we give you the Lord Jesus and talk about how you came into the life of a hurting young man and you did set him on a new path on a rock, which is you, Jesus. So it's in your name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. For those of y'all who don't know me, my name is Benjamin Oswald. I'm an inventory analyst at National Oil Arco. Basically what I do is I analyze the components for making coil tubing, and I basically see where there's potential to free up capital to use in other areas of the business. And I just recently started, and God's been a huge blessing, and I've been working there for 6 weeks now. I want to start out, like, for most of my life, it seemed that I've been surrounded by a dark cloud. I was living my life in darkness. Today I'll be sharing the story of the defining moment where my life changed. Our story will revolve around this moment, my life before, when the change happened, and my life. In my early years, life was pretty normal. I have a younger brother, Nicholas, and my parents, which are still married. Super thankful for that. Parents' relationship was good for the most part. They had their ups and downs, as any marriage, I would say, yelled at the group. But they did see eye to eye with most things. My dad was very direct due to his military background, so that proposed a lot of challenges. And that drove some anger and spite between my mom and him, as well as myself with my dad. My dad did his best to take care of us and my mom. My brother and I, we fought a lot when we were younger. He would get most of the attention, and so I would pick on him quite often. But we did get along for most of the time. My brother was a baby more than I was, so that made me jealous of him for many years. And I think that's partly due to me rebelling against my parents and God. For a long time, until I would have a lot of anger towards him, and I just have a lot of anger towards him. Because I didn't know what I was doing. We didn't have a lot of money growing up, but my parents did their best to give us good Christmases, birthdays, and just to provide for us and just to make sure we were as happy as we could be. My parents were very disciplined when it came to money. I remember going to the store, looking at toys, and asking if I could get one, and they would say, no, we don't have the money for that. So that really set in with me at a young age. And so I began to think money was happiness. I didn't have very many friends due to that my parents are very antisocial. So from this, I had a tendency to make friends with people that were deemed as outcasts. I didn't grow up going to church, or didn't know really much about the Bible, who God is. my dad was forced to go to church when he was younger, so he found it very boring and didn't have the desire to, which led our family to just stay at home and not really get involved in any communities. As I got a little older, he explained to me that his grandparents, friends that would donate 10% of what they made when they could barely afford to eat. So he saw church as a business, which later I started to see church as a business as well. I stayed out of trouble for the most part and until my sophomore year of high school. I got involved with some theft with my best friend at the time, and another acquaintance. There was some theft of some property of a person, which led it to be a felony theft of a person, so this was a big wake-up call for me, and it almost led me to end up in juvenile detention. I did this for seeking attention, and I had convinced myself that I was helping a friend out. Deep down, I knew what I was doing was wrong. I wanted to fit in and have acceptance. When I was suspended, my mom stayed home with me due to that my lawyer advised that I may get booked due to it was a felony offense. This had a large impact on me. I remember my mom saying that you have a dark cloud following you. This very superstitious thing was told to me so many times that I believed it. I believed that I was surrounded in darkness and that nothing was going to get better. After the charges were settled, I realized that I was in control of my decisions and my actions, which led me to be in the situation I was in. So I began to keep my head down, and I stayed out of trouble. My senior year was when I felt truly lost. I had my first experience with real, true evil. A close friend of mine was brutally murdered. He was stabbed to death in November of 2015. This had a large impact on me, dude. I questioned if there was a God. I was wondering why he would let something so terrible happen. Continuing on later on in my senior year, I began to be sexually active with a girl. I thought she was love of my life. The relationship ended and I was really upset, and I began to not care about anything but my newfound love, which was money. I began to start making money from unethical means. I was started as selling drugs, basically, to make money. And with this, being around and involved with people, it led me to start using a lot of drugs, as well as alcohol, for a means of escape. I had an empty feeling inside. I felt more alone than ever. And I was trying to escape. Even though that year I began to make more friends and I was accepted, someone popular my senior year. It seemed every day I would look up and the dark cloud would be hanging over my head. I felt that no one truly cared about me, and then there was no one that I could trust. The summer after I graduated high school in 2016, I was introduced to a man through a friend of mine at high school, at HEB, where we both worked. He offered to meet with me, and I skeptically agreed to meet with him. I was skeptical due to that I was unsure who I could trust because I felt betrayed by many people, and I didn't. I met with this man very cautiously, and we started to get to know each other through talking about our lives. asked me if I was interested in that. I said I was interested in the Book of Acts. I read the whole Book of Acts, and I didn't meet with him 3 months. Dude, I was so skeptical about what his agenda was for me. Also, people who said they were Christians, about the Bible. He calmly answered the questions, and he said, and I asked, and provided scripture to support this answer. At one point he said, "This isn't very fun for me." His patience and kindness sparked a lot of interest for me to learn more about the Bible and who Jesus was, or who Jesus is. He was the first person that seemed genuinely interested in what I had to say. I began to meet with him more often, and I started to become more curious. In the spring of 2017, I was working out at the gym, and I started a conversation with one of my friends who is a Messianic Jew, and which is a person who believes, who is of the Jewish faith, who has accepted Christ. He shared a story about his trip to Israel. And while there, he heard a story about some kids throwing rocks into the side of a cliff where they heard pots breaking. They discovered some scrolls which could be known as the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Book of Isaiah, and which were to be dated between 200 BC and 68 AD. This sparked my interest that Jesus was a real person. I started to ask more questions about the Bible and learn more about Jesus through Scripture. At this time, I was taking classes at Lone Star College. A few weeks later, I was driving to class in a hurry because I had a test and I wanted to be there on time. A person in front of me suddenly stopped. I was unable to stop, and I rear-ended him. We both inspected our vehicles and to see if there's any damage, and surprisingly I got out and there wasn't any damage on either of our vehicles. The gentleman looked at me and he stated, "What do you know about God?" I replied, "I recently started to learn about him, but I don't know much about him." He then stated, "Can I pray for you?" And I said yes, very anxiously. He proceeded to pray for me in the middle of a rush hour on a busy road. Afterwards, I made it to class on time and I passed my test. On my way home that day, I reflected that maybe God is real if his supposed son is. I continued to learn more about the Bible meeting with this man. A couple months have gone by. I decided to go out with some friends to a club. I made a poor choice and I drank alcohol excessively and being severely intoxicated. I ended up getting removed from the club and the people I did not know took care of me. My friends were unaware that I got kicked out of the club and I was unable to function enough to let them know what happened. I ended up passing out at their apartment that they took me to, and I woke up in a panic. And I left their apartment. I still don't know who they are to this day. I found my way back to my truck and drove home early the next day. I reflected on my actions and what happened that night, as well as what could have happened. I realized I was in need of love. I was in need of having Christ in my life. The moment that I felt the dark cloud had dispersed, and I realized in October 28, 2017, 2017, I accepted Christ in my life. I realized I was in need with the Lord and the loving Christ in my life. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5 says, For I have delivered you to the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that had appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. 1 John 5, 13 says, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, his life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. 1 John 5, 13. This scripture really spoke to me that I had walked from darkness into light, and that dark cloud had dispersed from heaven. After accepting Christ in my life in 2017, things really began to change. I began to break away from things of this world, sex, drugs, alcohol. And I struggled with this newfound truth. The lessons in scripture that I was reading started to transform my mind. It was like being in a daydream and then someone grabs you and brings you your attention. Meeting with a man that showed great interest in me. He guided me through the Bible, and I learned more about the truth inside the Bible. Throughout 2018 and 2019, little by little, I began to heal and overcome my past and my addictions. The process of overcoming addictions is not easy. At one point in time, I had was going through such a severe withdrawals that I had to fake every emotion. I couldn't feel nothing. I prayed for months for God to help me overcome this and overcome the dependency of these things. 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firming your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings. This truth. I struggle with accepting this truth because of my pride and my selfish desires. I was realizing my dependence on Christ. Having Christ in my life gave me the strength to walk away from drugs and alcohol for over a year. Being sober changed my life about being changed my view about life, and I realized what I was doing was being selfish. I was indulging in my own selfish desires. I began to value other relationships with others more than having material things. Having Christ in my life has also brought me the teachings that my ability has brought me many blessings.
Gary, a little special treat for us.
be painful. What? Is that? So we were with the Papples a couple of weekends ago, and we're just sitting around chatting. And Kim's been an educator when she was working, and one of the things that I think it was with special ed children or deaf children, and so she learned to sign, and then she started talking about signing, you know, to music that praises God, and I had the thought. It's a different way to worship God, but I think it's a very beautiful way. This is my thinking. And so I asked him, would you be willing to do this for us? Would you be willing to share this gift that you have to help us worship in a very different way? And so she graciously accepted the invitation. So I thank you for sharing your gift with us.
If you want to wait one verse and then come in, I would love for you. It's really a praise song. Battery, hi. iPhone. Battery, hi.
Is
That was beautiful, Kim. Thank you.
Some quick announcements, guys, and then we're going to do our group picture that we do every year. Adult tennis and pickleball. I don't know if anyone signed up for tennis.
It's pickleball.
All pickleball.
Okay.
So even if you're not a pickleball player, go down and watch. It's pretty neat. It has a unique sound when it hits the paddle. It's really cool to watch. Again, I know it's kind of a bummer. It's Thursday. But just to plan ahead, we have to be out of our rooms by 11:30. So it's a good idea to try to start packing the night, leave a few things for the morning, but get it all together and then just put it outside the hallway. That frees you up tomorrow to be at your shared group. You don't want to miss that. And do the other things that we do, especially the shared time in the main auditorium. Free registration. You heard the Knowles share out of their lives, and I appreciate them doing that. What momentum them last year and why they came back, and it seems like a small thing, but hearing your daughter's character at the Rapids to want to serve somebody, that's pretty cool. So it's just a small thing that happens here. It's so much about the Lord, but think about it in your own family, what God's done or is doing and can do. And please consider prayerfully with your partner coming back. So pre-registration forms, you can do it the old school way using the paper forms in the auditorium, or you can go on the JPTmovement.com website and print one off. Yes, sir. Okay, good. Thank you, Gary. So when you go on the website, there's a link for vacation week. You click on that, register, then you can make your deposit payment by Zelle or by check. Thank you, Gary. Makes it easier. One of the highlights of the week is the Ice Cream Social. So down at the Wagon Wheel, which as you approach the cafeteria from this side, of the property, you'll see the Wagon Wheel area down below. They'll be serving, I'm not sure what flavors, but somebody, Randy Becker, are you doing that? Yeah, what flavors? Oh my goodness. Dutch chocolate, vanilla, and cookies and cream. And like my daughter used to say, you're on vacation, so get one of each. That's tonight. It's great. The weather's always nice. The ice cream and the fun and around and fellowship is really awesome. And to hang out with people, it's kind of a great way to spend the last full night or full day here at Mo. We are going to break here in a moment for a group photo, but we do have some baptisms, two or three, down at the dam. Down below the volleyball courts at the river. You guys know where the dam is? Yeah. Tell you how long I've been coming here. I've got a picture of my son Charlie, who was six, fishing over that dam. They won't let you go on it anymore. It's kind of a cool place. And then in 2014, I got to baptize it down there. It's a great memory for me. So what time? I think some folks are organizing. 4:30 are the baptisms. I believe my good friend Ben's going to one or two others, so please come down and support those folks.
Joey!
Who's that back there in the corner?
Joey!
All right. I'm definitely going to be there. All right. Pickleball starts at 1:30. Oh, let's not forget. Todd and his family brought a bubble machine. Same time, 1:30? Yeah, they're going to try to do it. I mean, the wind's going to do what the wind's going to do. So, okay, we'll begin to safely